the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
We're back! You ready? Tim and Sid! Hour number three. Swag!
Sportsnet 590, the Fan and 360. I am Sid Sixero. Tim McAuliffe is getting ready for McMaster Guelph tomorrow on Sportsnet 360 kickoff a little after 1 p.m. Eastern. Timmy will be back on Monday. Coming up, a massive soccer game on Sportsnet's network Sunday morning. Manchester City hosting Manchester United. It is the game of the weekend in Europe. It's on Sportsnet World, Ontario, Pacific, East, West, Espanol, you name it. The man from the UK who will be calling the action will be joining us this hour. John Champion, one and only, will be here. And I'm looking forward to that. Big fan of his for a long time. So we'll talk to him coming up. All right, let's get right to it. Toronto FC have a new general manager. His name is Tim Bezbachenko, and he's joining us now. Tim, welcome to Tim and Sid. How you doing?
Hey, Sid. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Big day. Big day. Congratulations to you. Why take this job?
Being at the league office for 3 years, you get to see a lot. You get to see the successes and the failures of a lot of teams. And Toronto was one of the teams I've been managing. And I've always looked at it as a place that, you know, if the opportunity came about, I would make that jump because, frankly, I've always wanted to, you know, be a GM if the opportunity was right. And when you look at a place like Toronto, with the city, the resources, the passionate supporter base, I thought it was a place of the right fit. And when Tim called, you know, I things moved quickly, and I jumped on it.
Tim Leiwicki called you for the gig, and I know Kevin Payne was fired back on September 5th. Mm-hmm. How long after September 5th did you start talking to him?
You know, it was, I would say 2-3 weeks, maybe a little bit more. I don't think it was until about, until Labor Day. That I got on the phone with Tim. So I think that they were, you know, I think they started with a large pool, as they should. I think Kevin, he did quite a few good things here. You know, I mean, I think Kevin was able to create some budget space and really set the stage for what we can do now. But I think Tim has, you know, had a little bit different of a vision for the direction of the team. And so he called me up and said, hey, look, you know, you have the skills and the talents of what we're looking for in a GM. Would you be interested? And at that time I said, you know, let me talk to my family and the other people in the league office, and everyone thought it would be a good decision.
Sorry, Tim, I'll move on, I promise. But in terms of when he called you, just again, how long after September 5th do you think it is, narrowing it down? Because you gave us a couple of different dates there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh, it's been sort of a circus here. It was right around Labor Day.
Okay, fair enough. Looking at your resume in terms of what you've done for Major League Soccer, Director of Player Relations and Competition, mm-hmm. Tim, what does that mean exactly?
Good question. So what it means is we are the regulators of the rules at the league office. Now, there's two departments. There's the player department and there's the competition department. Now, I think the easiest way to think about it is competition is everything inside the white lines, and the player department is everything outside the white lines. It has to do with, again, regulating the signing of players, the import and export of players, as well as, you know, other things that will occur off the field with respect to the team budget and rosters. So in layman's terms, you know, I would have six teams, and I would make sure that those teams are salary budget compliant, and any transaction that would occur, any player signing for my teams, I would be the one drafting as well as, negotiating it at various levels depending on which team I was working with.
So in terms of the cap, and I can hear it in your voice when you're describing it to me, you're as versed with the cap as any existing GM in this league. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, when you look at the shape of Toronto FC's salary cap now, which Tim Leiwicki has said on numerous occasions has been a big-time problem, especially after Kevin left, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being just full the team, how rough a shape is this cap?
Wait, 10 being what? 10 again?
10 being just everyone walk away, go home, and do something else.
Right now, I think the Caps in a great it's in a great place right now, looking into 2014. So, you know, I don't really want to put a number on it. But what I would say is I'm very optimistic about where we are with the budget and the cap.
Tim, forgive me if I sound a little crass going forward here, but I'm going to ask you some questions your new fan base, I believe, are thinking right now.
Yep.
Kevin Payne won 4 MLS Cups. This situation is worse after the fact than it was before. You are coming into this as a first-time GM. I believe there are people in this city who are raising a Spockian eyebrow, if I could quote another host on this station, at whether or not you can turn this around. Convince them.
You know, what I would say to that is I think the reason, you know, Kevin left, like I said, was had to do with Tim's vision for the organization. For me, what I'm going to bring is something that no other person in the league can bring, which is, you know, 3 years of managing 6 teams where I was doing contracts for, you know, between 10 and 12 contracts every year for those teams. And that's just the players that we signed. There's a number of deals that we did not sign. No other person in the league can say that they've done that number of contracts over that period of time. They just can't. I've looked at a number of budgets. I've seen a number, what I would say, is a myriad of budget inefficiencies that are plaguing the unsuccessful teams in the league. I know what to avoid. I know where to push buttons when it comes to the competition guidelines and rules that I know a lot of people, you know, do not even know. There are GMs and technical directors out there that don't know the rules well. You would be surprised how many people call the league office asking for some of the simplest of questions at the, you know, with respect to the league rules.
How many of those calls came from Toronto over the last 4 years?
No comment. But what I would say is, what Tim's looking for, you know, we're going out and we're going to sign high-quality designated players that should have an immediate impact on the team. That, coupled with my expertise in the budget and salary cap management space, should set us on a stage for success. I have no doubt.
So, Tim, in terms of contracts, your cases, you've dealt with plenty of them, and from that standpoint, you are comfortable. If I may play devil's advocate here, being a GM is also about evaluating talent.
Right.
It's not just signing it. It's not just looking at the numbers and making them fit under a cap. Someone at some point in this organization has to really know something about soccer on the field. And over the past little while, it's been apparent that has been horrifically lacking. As an evaluator, what does your resume look like?
Well, we can talk about my resume, but I think what you really want to get at is what you're talking about is, I believe, is the approach toward player signings, right? Who's looking at them, why the decisions are made. And so, yeah, obviously, you know, I played soccer. It's not at this level. So at least I can put on that hat. But I'm not going to be the one making the decisions alone in a box, in a cube, without any input from the technical staff. My decision-making process is one that requires a number of checks and balances. It's going to include the technical staff's input, and the due diligence process will be robust. It'll be international. It'll be it'll have an analytical focus to it, but also, like I said today, it'll have a sort of the sense of the old scouting way, which is you just got to get there in person and see the person play. So in terms of my decision-making process on players and how it'll be different than in the past, it'll just be one that's just more robust and more complete.
Will it be more analytical?
Yes, it will be.
And you
I think it's one factor. Yeah, I think analytics is just one factor that will play into the decision-making process. But I think it can be an important one, one that, you know, teams aren't taking advantage of to the extent that they could.
Tim Bezbachenko, new general manager of Toronto FC, here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and 360. Tim, will you be reporting directly to Tim Leiweke?
Yes.
In terms of designated players, and it has been a vaudeville act, Tim, to try and get a designated player of substance after Frings into this city. Do you have a time frame for when you think this needs to happen, or do you think building a stronger base before adding DPs is the way to go?
I think you got to do both. I mean, I think the we do have an objective here to bring in at least one designated player in the primary transfer window, which starts in February. But we'll be focusing on that, our efforts on that right now. But we'll also be working on building the base. I mean, you can't, you know, if anyone who knows anything about soccer, you're not going to win with just one or two players in the field. There's 11 guys, and it takes. You're only as good as your weakest link, and you really have to have a good core group of guys in the field who know the system and they know the style of play, and they're willing to execute on the coach's plan.
The problem you felt like after hearing Tim Leiwicki speak about Kevin Payne and the previous approach to bringing in designated players is that there were a lot of voices. Will this be your show front to back? Are you going to be responsible for negotiations, scouting, flying overseas, talking to guys in Spain, England, Italy? Will it be you the entire time?
I think I'll have a hand in it the entire time, but I don't, you know, there's only so much one man can do. There's, you know, we have a great team here, and I think it's, you know, I'm a collaborative type person, and that's the type of work, you know, I'll be doing. So it will not be me running the show without anyone else's input, no.
How important is it for you to have a strong Canadian base in this team?
You know, it's important for the identity of the club. I mean, we're a Canadian team, and we need to reflect those values. So I think it's very important to have a certain number of Canadians on the team. What that number is, I think it'll change. It depends on the personalities on the team, but that is absolutely critical.
Tim, final question. I walked into a Sport Check here in Southern Ontario, a sporting goods store.
Yeah.
And a Toronto FC jersey that was previously marked at $78 was being sold for $1.89, and I'm not making that up. The image of this team as you walk into this city, I don't mean to scare you, has never been worse than it is right now. You have supporters, season ticket holders listening to this. What is your message going forward?
Message going forward is just hang on a little bit longer. We will get this done, and we're going to do it right this time. You've already seen a number of changes that Tim has made at all, you know, the organizations at MLSE, and we're doing that at Toronto. And everything we've done so far is to improve the squad. We are going to work extremely hard because there's nothing we want more than to turn this team into a regular, consistent playoff and championship-winning team. It, you know, I can't put a timeline on it, but we are impatient and we are very competitive. So we're going to do everything we can to make sure that this is a winning franchise.
Finally, Tim, I lied. This is the last question. Are you happy with Ryan Nelson? Is he your coach going forward?
Yes. Ryan is the guy. I've had a number of conversations with, you know, with Ryan over the past few weeks, and we are on the same page, and it's critical that we are communicating regularly. So absolutely.
Tim, we appreciate the time. You sound hungry for this, but as they say in life, sometimes be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. You have a job on your hands, sir. I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ed.
There is Tim Bezbachenko, new GM of Toronto FC, and the tasks don't get taller than that in terms of North American soccer. We shall see. He is highly thought of. He's enthusiastic. We shall see. We're going to step aside. You're listening to Tim and Sid. I'm Sid Cicciolo, Sportsnet 590, The Fan at 360.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan and 360. I am Sid Cicciolo. This is Tim and Sid. Tim will be back on Monday. He's getting ready to call McMaster Guelph live on Liam, really? Liam Gallagher. Always interrupted by Liam Gallagher. Oasis is one of my top three bands of all time. I know they're Man City supporters. Don't tell me they're Man. I know. You kidding me? I've been to two Euros in Europe. Don't tell me about soccer. Johnny Audio Guy. Coming up, top five NFL picks of the week. You know what? Oasis can sit it for now. This is a big one for me. I've been listening to our next guest for a very, very long time call some of Europe's biggest matches, specifically in the Premier League. His name is John Champion. For those who maybe don't recognize the name, I am sure you will recognize the voice.
Gerrard's kick. There's Aga! It's touched in! And it's that man again. Daniel Sturridge. What a start to the season he's had! His fifth goal of the campaign already. An embrace from the manager.
There he is. Fantastic stuff. And John Champion has the plum assignment this weekend at the Etihad Stadium. It is Manchester City and Manchester United. You can see it live on Sportsnet World, Ontario, East, West, Pacific, and Espanol. John Champion joins us now. John, welcome to Tim and Sid. How are you doing?
Sid, it's good to talk to you. I'm very good.
It is a pleasure, sir, to talk to you. Always an interesting week. Whenever the Champions League is sandwiched between a weekend, John, how do you think United and City will react to this massive fixture coming off a busy week?
Well, do you know what? I think the Champions League has served both teams well because we've seen a semblance of their true form for the first time this season in their respective Champions League games. Manchester City went to the Czech Republic, won 3-0 at Victoria Pilsen, could have won by 10. Manchester United were profligate. They wasted a whole host of chances and still beat Bayer Leverkusen of Germany 4-2. And for the first time, they looked like the Manchester City and the Manchester United that we've come to expect. There have been pale imitations in the prior Premier League games. I mean, Manchester City losing at Cardiff. Whatever else happens this season, that will be one of the standout surprise defeats of the whole campaign. Manchester United starting slowly, losing at Liverpool, that great rivalry that's played out twice a season, a game that really matters to them. So really only this week have these two sides hit their straps, and I think it's perfect timing ahead of what will be one of the big collisions of the English Premier League season.
How would you describe the tenor of this rivalry going into this year's fixtures? I mean, obviously a couple of years ago you had the noisy neighbors led by Mancini, and they had everything to prove. And Sergio Aguero, last kick of the season, you couldn't get more dramatic. Man U comes back, boom, next season, lays it down. This is our league, and Man City will know it. How would you describe the rivalry this season?
This is the start of a new chapter, Sid, I think, and that's down to one man, or rather the departure of one man, and that is, of course, Sir Alex Ferguson. This is the first Manchester derby for 27 years when his glaring presence will not be there on the touchline at the Etihad or indeed at Old Trafford. So I think we're turning over a new leaf because for the first time since 1947, we're going into a Manchester derby with both managers being new to the job. The last time that happened was the great Sir Matt Busby, or just plain old Matt Busby as he was, beginning his career in the 1940s with Manchester United against a Scot called Jock Thompson, who was in charge of Manchester City, and they fought out a nil-nil draw at City's old ground at Main Road. I just think that all bets are off now because Ferguson had such a dominant presence, not just on Manchester United, but on the league as a whole and on the Manchester rivalry. And Manchester City were slightly in awe of him. They were slightly cowed by him. They felt like they were inferior, and that's why they had to make a lot of noise and were dubbed the noisy neighbours. Now, it's a more equal footing. Manchester City, with all their financial backing from the Abu Dhabi United Group, Manchester United with all their history, and of course the Glazers behind them, but two new managers, Pellegrini, the first Chilean to manage in the Premier League, and David Moyes stepping into the biggest shoes anywhere in European soccer, those of Sir Alex Ferguson. So for that reason, I think it's a clean slate. We start all over again this weekend.
John, I don't mean to put you on the spot here. I'm not sure if you know, will Sir Alex be at the Etihad this weekend? Do you think his presence...
He's now director of the club. So, in fact, he's been to the last two games. He had a hip operation over the summer, having retired, and was laid up in hospital at the start of the season. But now, I think from here on in, he'll be more or less omnipresent, which, if you're David Moyes, is a double-edged sword, because if things are going well, it's great to have the nod of approval from the director's box up in the stands. If things aren't going well, then he can become a focus as well for the discontent of the fans.
It is Manchester City against Manchester United Sunday morning here in North America. You can see it live coverage beginning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, Sportsnet World, Ontario West, Pacific East, across the platforms. It is a massive, massive English fixture and one of the biggest games in Europe all weekend. John, in terms of Wayne Rooney, obviously it just seems as though discussion follows him wherever he goes. And in a summer full of turmoil, I have to say, John, initially his reaction to not being moved to Chelsea has been fairly positive for the club.
It has on the pitch, but you know, he was asked the question directly. He came off the playing area after the game against Leverkusen in the Champions League by a television interviewer here in the UK. Are you going to stay? Are you happy to stay? And he was non-committal in his answer. And I think the truth of all this lies in the fact that Rooney is not particularly happy at Manchester United, but he realises that if he wants to get a move, he's approaching his 28th birthday, he's got a lot of miles on the clock, he's not always been the most natural fit of players, he needs to show that he's still an attractive proposition and that Chelsea or someone else are justified in paying a big cheque, because the crunch in this is going to come at Christmas, because he has one more year of his contract to go after this season. And the way that the English trade system or the European trading system of players works, players lose their value, their transfer value in the last year of their contract, because come the end of their deals, they're able to move without a transfer fee. So if Manchester United, they've got to do one of two things. They've got to stick or twist. Either they renegotiate a new contract with Rooney to take him through basically the rest of his career, or they decide that they cut their losses and they sell him at Christmas. So this is probably the most crucial 3 months coming up in Wayne Rooney's career.
And John, when you add what English soccer supporters hope will also be a World Cup campaign on top of that, I mean, John, this is where I'm really surprised that Rooney has kind of allowed things to get to where they are now. Because when you couple in his contract with the fact England need him back on that pitch with two huge fixtures coming up against Ukraine and Montenegro, and it's no guarantee that England will be in Brazil, although most people believe it'll happen. I'm amazed with all of this on the table, considering how important these next 12 months are to him. He would let another distraction, like a major transfer, kind of get in the way of all that.
But do you not think, Sid, it's a question of priorities? And in some players' minds, the bank balance is more important than representing their country or going to the World Cup.
I would agree with you, yes.
Particularly if they've done it before. Yeah. And I think you would talk to many good judges in English football who would suggest, and I'm not saying this is definitely the case, but who would suggest that Wayne Rooney, whilst a terrific footballer, hasn't always had the best advice from those that he employs to advise him and to guide his career. That was shown, I think, a couple of years ago when he had the big desire to leave, and it looked like he was going to go to Manchester City at that stage. That hardly endeared him, and I think that fractured the relationship with Ferguson, even though the former manager played a blinder in getting him to re-sign on another contract. But I think, really, the seed that was sown then of discontent is now beginning to grow into a really big problem. And for all the fact that Rooney has played a couple of terrific games, this is going to rumble on till January, and that will be the crunch point in all of this. But I think, sadly, you have a player who is as rich as Croesus, who has achieved an awful lot, and I think his priority is getting the best possible contract he can, wherever that may be, and that overrides any desire necessarily to go to Brazil for the World Cup.
John, one final question. I just want to move quickly off the derby, if I could. I don't believe in one transfer making or breaking a team, but I can't help but watch Arsenal right now and see the cultured soccer that Mesut Ozil is now bringing to that team after the Real Madrid transfer, and think to myself, this is a different group.
Yeah, he's had a transformational effect, hasn't he? The one question that still is yet to be answered by Arsenal is whether this group is mentally stronger than the previous ones that Arsene Wenger has put together. Since the Invincibles of the last 10 years ago, they've had a succession of good teams, wonderful to watch, but when push has come to shove, mentally, they've not been strong enough to get through the toughest challenges. It now would seem that the £42 million that they've spent on Mesut Ozil has given some of the other players belief that they are now strong enough, and they have signed a major European marquee player to top off all the rest of the talent that they've got there. So I think it's very difficult, isn't it, after two games to say Mesut Ozil is going to make all the difference. But the signs are promising. I just wait for the winter days and a match a long way from home, somewhere in the north of England in not very nice, muddy conditions, which in the past is where Arsenal have fallen down, on a playing surface that doesn't suit them against determined opponents. That will be the acid test for Arsenal. And if they can start coming through those tests, I think they can look forward to the possibility of being in the shake-up for the league title itself this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid point. I still would have liked to have seen them spend £15 million on the center of that defense just to bring in a third guy to help out, because you just...
Absolutely. I don't see Mertesacker and Koscielny necessarily being a title-winning defensive partnership.
Agree.
Or indeed, if you add Vermaelen into that, I don't think that's got the same quality as say, Ferdinand and Vidic at Manchester United.
Completely agree. Manchester City at the Etihad Sunday morning here in Canada against Manchester United. I will be glued to my couch. You can see it on Sportsnet World, Sportsnet Ontario, and a lot of other Sportsnet affiliates. The man calling that game Sunday is John Champion. John, this has been a big thrill. We appreciate the time today. Thank you, sir.
It's really nice to talk to you, and I hope all of you watching in Canada really enjoy the game. I think it's going to be a terrific occasion.
Thank you very much. I'm sure it will. Thank you, John. That is John Champion. And just a heads up, the coverage actually begins at 10:30 a.m. Eastern on Sportsnet. And John will be joining Brad Fay and Craig Forrest on the desk. Not on the desk. We'll be talking to them from where he is. And throughout the day, actually, at Real Sports, the EPL is it's getting bigger. Real Sports is opening up. There's going to be a crowd down there. And I am being told Brendan Dunlop and Lloyd Barker of Sportsnet World and Sportsnet will be making appearances throughout the day. I'm assuming sober. They'll be good. Well, 50-50 chance. But we got resources in the broadcast. We got people in places. It's going to be a massive morning. And thanks to John Champion. That was cool. We talked to John Champion today. That was fun. Okay, we're going to step aside. You know what? Let's get John Molinaro on for a bit. I want John's take on what happened today with TFC and the interview we had with the new guy. Friends of the show, NFL picks. I'll throw mine out, and we'll wrap it up, get you ready for primetime. I'm Sid Zaccolo. This is Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and 360.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and 360. This is Sid Zaccolo coming up Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan. He is in the building, and he's wearing a lot of Gene items. Gene Machine today hosting Primetime Sports. We got a busy final block here. Let's get into it. Friend of the show, Sportsnet.ca, John Molinaro. He was down at the TFC press conference today. New GM, Tim Bezbachenko. We talked to Tim just a few moments ago. John, how you doing?
Good. Sid, how are you?
Good, good. We just got a couple minutes. Your general impressions of this are what?
It's hard to say. I'm kind of leery about jumping in and kind of definitively saying he's going to be the savior, or this was a good hire, or this was a bad hire. Talk is cheap, really, after 7 years. So I really want to give Bezbachenko a little bit of time and see what he does from here before kind of forming any sort of opinion.
Some of the things I'm reading on social media, John, suggest – you know, this guy wants to be the Billy Bean of soccer. You know, this guy wants to look at things from a different angle, put together a club that's cost efficient and can stay in a playoff race. Is that an incorrect way to maybe look at the hire, or is that the right track?
I think it's getting a little bit overblown, to be perfectly honest, because while he certainly talked about, you know, using analytics in terms of, you know, determining stuff and going forward and evaluating players, it wasn't the only thing he would talk about. He also talked about, you know, using traditional scouting methods and building a network. So I think this idea that Bezbachenko is going to somehow bring Moneyball to TFC is a little bit misleading. It's going to be, as I said, analytics is going to be one of the tools that he uses, but it's not going to be the end-all and be-all. So I think that's gotten a little bit overplayed by my friends in the media today.
One last one, John. It's just... I'm taking a step back. I'm looking at the situation, and I am staggered that Tim Leiwicki went with a guy with no GM experience. Considering the state of this franchise and its image, it is one of the ballsiest things I have seen in this city in quite some time, and it might be just crazy enough to work. I'm with you. I'm not willing to completely trash the idea. You got to see what the guy can do. But considering the tenor of the narrative with this team, my God, John, this is a gutsy call.
Yeah, it's bold, all right. And, you know, the last bold move that they did was hire an inexperienced coach. And how has that played out so far? So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I on one hand, I'm willing to give him a little bit of time and see how this plays out. But this is a very bold move at a, let's not kid ourselves, a critical juncture in the history of this franchise.
Oh,
they have to get this right. I mean, they have to. And if Leiwicki You know, upon the advice of Don Garber at MLS, this proves out to be wrong, then, you know, I genuinely fear for the future of this franchise, because I think the pitchforks are going to come out and things are going to turn very sour very quickly and very badly, and they're not going to be able to get it back.
Bingo has been called, to quote Tim McAuliffe. John, great work today. We appreciate it. Thanks for this.
No problem. Anytime, buddy.
John Molinaro, sportsnet.ca. Time is tight. Time for Friends of the Show picks. Right now, the leader is Josh Toley of the Toronto Blue Jays, who went 3-for-2 last week looking at the NFL lines. Before we bring on our Friend of the Show this week, I would like to play for you the second anthem of Canada that we respect on this show a great deal. And to have this next Friend of the Show on, considering the impact this track made, is a big-time thrill.
North Stars, you know who we are. Notorious superstar. Yeah. Just to see you smile and enjoy yourself. I know you up in here to release your doubt. Some frontin' with the loot while others got the wealth.
Where are you?
I'm in the VI, undetected like a stealth. Yo, you out of shape, simply you
out of figure. Ladies and gentlemen, friend of the show this week, making his NFL 5 picks, Canadian hip-hop legend, Thrust.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
My goodness. I'm on the air with Sid Sixero. This is a crazy Friday.
I know. This bad break for you. I'm the only one here. McAuliffe would have made it way cooler.
Man, I'm telling you, this has been my favorite time slot for like 8 years from way back, man. So this is like a real pleasure. This is a real pleasure for me. I'm like undercover like sports addict. So it's dope to hear this.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? I understand you have a traffic update.
I just got off of the 400. I just want to tell anybody trying to go on the 400. Okay. I went to like up by like Cookstown by the outlet mall. I had to go get my daughter.
Yep.
And I left at 11 o'clock. I just got back in the city like 20 minutes ago. It's crazy. A truck exploded on the 400. The south was closed and up north was locked. It's just a mess.
Wow.
So you can avoid that. Definitely do that.
All right. Eat your heart out. Daryl Dahmer, Thrust, just hit us with some information live on air. Canadian hip-hop artist is our Friday 5 of the week. All right. Time is tight. Hit the music. We need 5 NFL picks for this week against the line. And I'm going to throw you a few games here. Jets all minus right. 2.5 against the Bills. What do you think?
The Bills got this one for sure.
All right, Bills plus the 2.5. You never know with that one. Two rookies, EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, head-to-head.
They got a little vibe going on, though. So
they do.
We'll see what's up.
The Patriots minus 7 at home against the Buccaneers of Tampa. Who do you like?
That's going to be tight because New England's playing so, like, on and off, but yeah. I also have to go to New England. Brady Vision will come through. So
Patriots, Brady. Never a bad bet, betting with Brady. Thrust takes the Patriots minus 7. Third pick, Packers minus the 3 on the road in Cincy. It's an interesting game. What do you think?
Nah, Aaron Rodgers, dude. He's one of the best.
No, I hear you.
Air it out.
All right. Kill him. Thrust likes Packers minus 3. Fourth game, Steelers are 3-point underdogs against the Bears.
It's so embarrassing. The Steelers is like my team, dude. And I gotta pick Chicago.
Wow.
Like, Steelers are just struggling that much, and that's my team. So
all right.
But that's the truth.
And finally, the Broncos at home are minus 85-point favorites against Oakland on Monday night. It's actually minus 15.
That's like a track meet. Should I even have to say who it is? Like Broncos? Like
you gotta go Broncos, right? No yeah, human
so
being.
Be like the third string running back that night, come out and do some stuff.
All right, so here it is. You are up against a 3-2 Josh Toley record from the Toronto Blue Jays. He went 3-2 last week. Again, Thrust has made his picks here on Tim and Sid. He takes the Bills minus the 2.5. Excuse me, plus the 2.5. Patriots minus 7. Packers minus 3. Bears minus 3. Broncos minus 15. Thrust, anything you would like to promote during this moment?
I'm just saying, just find me online. I'm everything's under Thrust Music, M-U-Z-I-K. Check the face. My Instagram's crazy. I'm posting all kind of old school Toronto flyers and just the history of our city and all this promo stuff. So that's Thrust Picks.
Okay.
And yeah, man. And just thanks for having me on here, man. This actually made my week. When I got the call, I was like, dope. So you guys keep doing what you're doing, man. You guys got the live show on air for sure.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Long time caller, first time, or long time listener, first time caller for me too. I screwed up the analogy. I tried to make a cute thing there. Thanks, man. There was Thrust, Canadian hip hop artist, making his Friday 5 picks. Quickly before we head out, here's mine. Broncos minus the 15, Steelers plus 3, Packers minus 3, Bucks plus 7, Jets minus the 2.5. My time is done. I am Sid Sixolo. Tim and I will be back next week. You've been watching and listening to Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and 360.